Shannon Carroll owns and operates Redemptive Love Farm in Tallahassee. She and her husband have adopted 7 children and fostered many more. They've cared for children with cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and PTSD, including trauma to survivors of child sexual abuse. One of the kids she adopted had been in a hospital for 10 years, despite the best medical care, and had cerebral palsy and was being fed through a tube.
And I prayed and I thought, I am not a nurse. I can't do this. I am not equipped for a child of this kind of care level. And somebody who is dear to me said, you know, this child's problem is not that she needs more nurses, that she needs more doctors, that she needs more therapists. Her problem is that she's an orphan and she needs a mom and a dad. And so that's where we stepped in. I could be a mother.
Michelle Scott came into foster care at the age of 3 and was adopted at age 8. In between, she had 14 placements. Now about to graduate from Florida State University, she says she tested her adoptive parents at first.
Is this really the one? Is this unconditional? Am I going to be moved? Are they going to give, you know, are they going to give up on me? I know that that's happened to a lot of adoptive parents and, you know, stay with them. Keep loving them. Keep showing them that you are there. You know, you want to keep them in your life forever. You're not going to give up on them.
The effects of trauma are profound, says Jane Johnson, director of advocacy at the Florida Council for Community Mental Health. Also a guardian ad litem representing a child with developmental disabilities, she's seen it up close.
He has acted out in every, he's had probably over 30 placements since he's been in foster care, but he doesn't believe anyone can love him because life to this point and for him has shown him that he's not lovable.
Johnson says children in the system often need quality trauma-informed care to counteract the scarring of their brains and their hearts. Marty Gillen, who teaches children, trauma, and resiliency at the University of Florida, agrees.
So we need to change our lens, and instead of saying, you know, what's wrong with you? Why on earth are you acting this way? We need to look at what happened to that child for them to exhibit the behaviors they're doing.
Gillen says if foster and adoptive parents view a child's behavior as willful disobedience, they'll be harsher as a result.
But if I view this behavior as survival, and thank goodness that child has that behavior because they survived and they're here today because of that, then I take a totally different parenting approach.
Mary Kay Wimsett is an attorney in Northeast Florida who has finalized more than 3,000 adoptions. While not everyone can take in a child, everyone can do something to reduce the number of abused and neglected children without families. For instance, Gator Strong Families, which serves University of Florida foster families, posts their needs from car seats to cribs to meals to a night off.
There's a family that just took placement of 5 siblings, and can't someone bring them dinner tonight? You know, so we had a foster mom recently who donated her kidney to one of the children in her foster home, and the community came together, and we provided meals for them for, I think, 3 or 4 months.
For those who care but aren't inclined or equipped to foster or adopt, there's another option, say all of those whose voices appeared in this report. It's volunteering as a guardian ad litem. Children with a guardian to advocate for them are twice as likely to be adopted as those without. And of course, there are also all those nonprofits that support kids in foster care with everything from school supplies to scholarships. They are always looking for financial support. For WFSU News, I'm Tom Flanagan.